Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your midweek political check-in. Broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform, we're slogging through another political swamp thick with nonsense and bad intentions. Let's cut through the poo-poo and throw a little light on the chaos before it buries us all. We don't care if you chew gum during the podcast, but no blowing bubbles. All righty then, without further ado, here's Nick and Bubbles. Steve. Holy moly. Take it away, gentlemen.
Unless you really want to blow bubbles, I mean, you can.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, we set the rule up. I don't know. It's kind of arbitrary. So welcome to the show, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. It's time for that midweek political week in review. Political midweek in review. I think that's how I say it.
Something like that. It feels weird because Christmas is right in the middle of this week, so I feel like this is a Friday, but I know it's not. And I think we'll be back Friday, too, for a post-Christmas wrap-up, too. So there's all that.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You can find our website, thevocalminority.net. There's not a lot there, but if you want to message Nick and I, you can do that there. Otherwise, The Vocal Minority's got social medias, but we're all over Really American. Like herpes.
Yeah, never truly goes away.
That's right.
You know? So, yeah, go check it out while it's mild and comforting. We're all part of the resistance here. I mean, I guess that's why you guys are tuned in, and we appreciate the hell out of that. Big week in politics today, and we're only at Tuesday, for crying out loud.
That's right. Herpes also very resistant. We're all... The resistance is the theme we're doing here, so... Oh, hey, Scotland checking in. Oh, that's good. Oh, Boise, Idaho. Huh? Oh, we got Philadelphia saying hello.
England's here.
What the hell? Going worldwide, Nicholas.
Yeah, people loading in from around the chat room here. That's why we do the broadcast live just after 3 o'clock here on the West Coast. And, it's, you know, just after 3 wherever you are, too, I assume.
Sure. It's after something wherever you are. And people saying hello. We got Toronto chiming in. That's good. Oklahoma on the list. Oklahoma. Nice. Jersey, Missouri.
All right, good stuff. Dude. Yeah,
everyone's
we appreciate
curious.
The check-ins, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, the news cycle inherently slows down around the holidays because the people that make the news are taking time off too. But we do have plenty to discuss. And I don't think it's a coincidence at all that the day before Christmas Eve that the Trump world dumped a bunch of Epstein files today.
Why? Because you think the audience is smaller? Is that why?
Yes. I mean, we talked last Friday about the fact that in the news world, Friday is dump day. Because late in the day Friday, most people are checking out and they're gone through the weekend. They're not paying attention to news, trying to enjoy their lives. And so historically, politicians will drop bad news late on a Friday. But doing it right, they didn't, you know, on Friday we saw a bunch of Bill Clinton stuff come out. But today we saw a lot of Trump stuff come out. And yeah, I think they're trying to hide in the news cycle here. But we're not taking time off.
No, we will not. In fact, there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot going on with Bondi. You know, people are saying like, oh, we're going to sue the crap out of you, dude, because the way this is being handled isn't what you said you would do. You said you were going to have it all released in that 30-day time period. And not only is it not all released, but there are total pages that are completely blacked out. The redaction is ridiculous, you know?
Yes. Have you seen that some of the pages, they apparently posted editable documents, meaning you could turn off the redactions on some of these pages? Like, how lazy are you?
Hey, dude, did you fact check that? Because I did this morning, and it said that it wasn't true, that was a rumor going around.
That's interesting. I have not technically fact checked it, so... Somebody out there fact checking for us. I've seen that on multiple sources, but I want to say I saw it on the HuffPost, but I could be wrong.
Maybe so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's so hard to keep up with fact checking in this day and age. It's just important that we do it. We get it wrong once in a while, but when we do, we let you know about it. So.
It's gotten so hard. I will tell. I mean, AI has just made it next to impossible, and people are getting clever with AI. They take something that seems real and just tweak it enough. And
yeah,
there's a lot with this Epstein stuff going on because you sent it to me yesterday, and I've seen it. This picture of Trump, and there's clearly a little girl with her face redacted, which I believe is actually Ivanka Trump, or just it's manipulated. But people are sharing it. Why? Because it seems legit. It certainly matches with what we're seeing. So we do have to be careful.
Yeah, the fact check that I ended up doing on that after I talked to you basically said that that's a real girl in a real picture, but it's somebody else. It's not Trump's. It's just Trump's head that they put on a body of someone else.
Yeah. Well, wow. Some of the news I have is about fact-checking happening in real time or after they've posted stuff, because there's a big one going on today that got posted and everyone's talking about it. DOJ's trying to fact-check it in real time, almost too quick of real time.
Okay. Well, should we hop into it?
I think so.
Yeah, let's roll, Paul Harvey.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Get over here, Nick.
I'm right here, dude.
I like this guy. Trump's derp state is equal parts corrupt and inept. Not deep derp. State, like derp.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, what do you got there, Stephen?
Well, there are just multiple Epstein things out today. And the funniest start to the day was the fact that the DOJ, they're acting like they're Trump's personal defense attorney, which is entirely not what the Department of Justice is ever supposed to do. They're not supposed to defend the president, you know?
Yeah, they're supposed to it's the rule of law. Like, let's take down all who do things illegal.
So. Right. So today, when they released some of the stuff, while announcing the latest document dump from the investigation into the late sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, the Justice Department defended President Donald Trump against claims made about him in the records.
Such bullshit.
Right. They posted online, quote, some of these documents contain untrue and sensationalist claims made against President Trump. They were submitted to the FBI right before the 2020 election. To be clear, the claims are unfounded and false. And if they had a shred of credibility, they certainly would have been weaponized against President Trump already. Weaponized, prosecuted, whatever you want to call it, I guess. But so that reeks of suspicion. You feeling guilty? You know there's something bad in there?
Well, we already know that's bullshit, right? Because it wouldn't have been weaponized because we couldn't talk about it. It was in the middle of an active investigation. So correct. We couldn't have talked about it. It wouldn't have been weaponized, dude.
Correct. Exactly. So, yeah, they said the quiet part out loud there. Hey, you're going to see some stuff today that is going to make our guy look bad. But it's all fake. It's all
it's
false.
All fake.
Right. So the big one that's making the rounds today that everyone is talking about, this alleged letter from Larry, is it Nassar? Nassar?
Yeah, Larry Nassar.
You're in the gymnastics world, Nick. Who is he?
Larry Nassar was a doctor to gymnasts who you probably saw a lot in the news about different gymnasts coming out and some of the big ones like, you know, I mean, even Simone Biles, Ali Raisman, like, he was a doctor that took care of the gymnastics team, and he was molesting and doing inappropriate stuff to these girls for years, and he went to prison for the rest of his life for it.
Correct. So one of the things that got posted today, it's a picture of a real letter, whether the letter's who wrote it or whatever, I suppose is debatable, but it's a real letter and a
right.
picture. And this letter said, Dear LN...
Handwritten, by the way.
Yes, handwritten. As you know by now, I have taken the short route home, and quote unquote, good luck. We shared one thing, our love and caring for young ladies at the hope they'd reach their full potential. Our president shares our love of young, nubile girls. When a young beauty walked by, he loved to grab snatch, whereas we ended up snatching grub in the mess halls of the system. Life is unfair. Yours, J. Epstein.
And let's explain that first line a little bit. As you know by now, I've taken the short route home. He wrote this letter and then put it in the mail, killed himself, and it didn't arrive, supposedly, for 3 days. But it was postmarked. But obviously before he killed himself. So that's what he's talking about.
Right. My first thought there was if he's saying that he's going to commit suicide, that would dispel this whole notion, the seemingly obvious notion that he was killed in jail, not committed murder, committed suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
But so let me see. I'm reading this off my phone. So the DOJ put out this thing today. It's funny. They first put this post out. The Department of Justice is currently looking into the validity of this alleged letter from Epstein to Larry Nassar, and we will follow up as soon as possible. It's almost as if they didn't know it was going to be in there. It said, in the meantime, three facts that stand out. The postmark on the envelope is Virginia, not New York, where Epstein was in jail at the time. The return address listed the wrong jail where Epstein was held and did not include his inmate number, which is required for outgoing mail. The envelope was processed 3 days after Epstein's death. Now, I don't know. Maybe someone visited him. Maybe he handed him the letter. I don't know. But within hours, they now claim, we fact-checked this, and here's the update. The FBI has confirmed, and again, this is the Department of Justice posting this on X, that the FBI has confirmed this alleged letter from Jeffrey Epstein to Larry Nassar is fake. The fake letter was received by the jail and flagged for the FBI at the time. The FBI made this conclusion based on the following facts. The writing does not appear to match Epstein. The letter was postmarked 3 days after Epstein's death out of Northern Virginia. He was jailed in New York. The return address did not list the jail where Epstein was held. It did not include the inmate number, like we said. This fake letter serves as a reminder that just because a document released by the DOJ does not make the allegations or the claims within the document factual, nevertheless, DOJ will continue to release all the material. So that's an awfully quick fact-checking they did within, like, 2 hours. Like, nope, we checked out. It's fake.
Yeah, completely. And when it first dropped, the FBI said, we're obviously, and the DOJ obviously said, oh, we're going to obviously do handwriting analysis of this letter. Well, they didn't have time to do that for this fact check, right?
They're still apparently trying to match Trump's signature on that birthday card. That's been months. They did this handwriting fact check within hours. That's funny.
This is a solid point, Aria. I think the DOJ is purposely adding nonsense to make MAGA question everything. That's definitely plausible.
Yes.
I mean, it does seem odd. There was another comment in the chat of why would Epstein sign his name to it? That's another, I mean, it's a good point. I guess if he was going to commit suicide, I don't know, but... Yeah, I don't know. There's something shady about it. Also, tying Larry Nassar to it, one of, you know, the last 30, 40 years' largest pedophile is a little interesting. Like, yes. Birds of a feather flock together, but he'd be an obvious choice if you wanted to put together a fake letter, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't know if the pedos all hang out in the same chat rooms or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think it's a great point. It could be a red herring in there. They put out some bullshit just to screw with us all. It's the same reason I think they put out the pictures of Michael Jackson and Mick Jagger to be like, hey, look, other celebrities, hung out with Epstein too. Like,
yeah, you know,
they should just release everything and get it all out there, because what they're doing right now with this drip, 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 putting stuff out and then redacting it, as we saw a few days ago, and then reposting it, redacting some things, not others. They put a victim's name out there because they were too busy redacting Trump's name, apparently. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, Aria says, never seen Nassar connected with Epstein. That's another good point, just to say, like, you know, wouldn't this have been brought up if they had some sort of connection? There's no pictures that I've seen of Nassar and Jeffrey Epstein together.
It's true. So. He's not in any of these photo dumps. Fritz Sears says what we've been saying for months now. The drawing showed a teenager that is not full breast development. Just think about it. Totally agree, Fritz. I've been saying that Trump knew what Epstein was up to. Don't know if Trump was directly participating, you know, but he definitely knew what his buddy was up to. Otherwise, that birthday card would have made no sense. And it's why Trump has denied so vehemently that he didn't do it, because he knows it's an admission of guilt.
Yes. Yeah. No, 100%. We talked a little bit about people going after Pam Bondi and the way she's handling this. This just goes further to show that, like, all of this shit is just crazy the way that she's taking care of this. And she should be, I don't know. I mean, if we talk in Trump terms, she should be hung, you know, put her on a firing squad, you know.
Right. And I will say, okay, so this letter everyone's talking about today, they're disputing, there is a lot of gray area. And I appreciate the people in the comments section are not just wholeheartedly diving in on this, because, you know, you got to take all this with a grain of salt. We did learn today, though, and no one's refuting this, that Trump and Epstein, first of all, Trump flew on the Lolita Express more times than we previously knew. But we have confirmation today that him and Epstein were on that plane with an unnamed 20-year-old girl. Now, 20, you know, that's legal. I get it. Anthony Kiedis and Leonardo DiCaprio are famous for dating 19-year-olds. But,
yeah,
you know, he was married and he was going to the island and they had young women on the plane. So that certainly doesn't look good. It's nothing Trump has ever acknowledged or admitted to.
Yeah, I mean, like we said the last time we talked about this, all of that's creepy, but it's not illegal. I mean, it technically True. Has nothing to do with this, really, you know.
Yes, and you know what the problem here, too, is with not only with all of this stuff, but certainly with them trying to refute this, you know, Nassar thing, is they're the boy that cried wolf. They Yes. lie so much that they have no credibility. How can I possibly take their word for anything when you lie about everything?
100%. As we look at Trump's past, I mean, it is riddled with impropriety of, you know, different things. Grabbing by the pussy, all that talk that we look back on, his time spent on the Howard Stern show, admitting to going into dressing rooms of pageants, you know. Mm-hmm. I came across this clip today and I thought, you know, here's just another one to lump onto this pile of what a piece of shit Trump is that makes me think, you know what, you didn't just fly on that plane, dude. There's no way that you went trick-or-treating and didn't eat any candy.
You came out in defense of Mike Tyson, and you came up with these community, and there was this, it is said that your mother said, enough, Donald.
She didn't exactly like the fact that I was defending Iron Mike, but I watched what happened to Mike Tyson. I heard about a girl that late in the evening knocked on his door, was taken in, was raped, perhaps, perhaps not. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Again, I think he was very badly represented. But I did see that, number one, she knocks late in the night. Number two, she's dancing in a beauty contest at 8 in the morning. And I saw the tapes, and I see the big smile on her face, and she's dancing happily at 8 in the morning. And now Mike Tyson's in jail for 4 or 5 or 6 years.
But if, in fact, he raped her in that hotel room, regardless of whether she came there, you think that he should have been convicted and should have gone to the slammer?
He to this day denies it. I don't know that it happened. And I think that, as they said, if he didn't testify, he would have been exonerated totally. The jury said that. Somebody like me, maybe who has a little bit more independent streak, can say, hey, Mike Tyson, in my opinion, should really be given another break.
Another break. Wow.
Projecting, as always.
100.
Throughout this entire Epstein thing, he has either said that there are people's names in there that could be harmed. I don't want to harm, you know, other people. Or he has sympathized with the family of those celebrities, anyone accused. He has never sympathized with the victims whatsoever. He's always worried about the perception of the accused.
Even with Ghislaine Maxwell, he wished her well, you know, like this is not a way an innocent person speaks, you know, be given another break. I don't know if she was raped. Like, she was dancing and had a smile. Like, it's a little iffy. Like, yeah, it's complete projection, dude.
It is total projection. It's how a guilty person thinks, because they're looking at it through their perspective, not of the victims.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, the other interesting thing that I think I have one more after this, Trump's DOJ in his first term declined to prosecute 10 co-conspirators. Exact same topic. Like, these are people in Epstein's orbit. Their names came up. They could have been prosecuted. Trump decided not to. President Donald Trump's first term DOJ declined to prosecute 10 of Epstein's co-conspirator, according to files that have just been released. On a Tuesday, Aaron Parnas, getting a shout out here, pointed out the revelation was from by far the most important document released overnight. In a 2019 email titled Epstein Update, a group discussed the details of the second attempt to prosecute Epstein. Quote, Epstein's bail argument is due to the judge on Thursday. The actual bail hearing will be on Monday. Of the 10 co-conspirators, 3 have been located in Florida, 1 in Boston, 1 in New York City, 1 in Connecticut. 4 of the 10 are outstanding with attempts having been made. Someone named Sean replied. 1 is a wealthy businessman in Ohio. The remaining 3 currently out of pocket. I guess that means paying their own bills. But 10 people, not one person, a total 10 that Trump's DOJ completely passed on. And we know Trump is colluding with his DOJ. At first term he was, but the second one he's just making it completely freaking obvious.
Yeah. No, that's what happens, dude. When you have when you're doing a lot of shit with shady people, it's like, oh man, I'm not gonna do anything to put them in the limelight because it's just gonna put me in the limelight as well. So I'll just sit on this.
And the classic thing, if you ever watch Law and Order or anything, you always try to get the little guys to flip on the big guys.
Yes.
So one of these 10 you might think would know bigger names, maybe Trump's name's on that list, maybe others, but either way, why would they decline to prosecute 10 people, and when are we going to get an answer on that one? Because that seems rather significant.
That takes us back to the Nassar letter, dude, the supposed Nassar letter. It says, whereas we are ended up snatching grub in the mess halls of the system, life is unfair. You know, you're totally right, dude, where these people should flip on Trump, and maybe Epstein and Nassar are part of that. I don't know, but... Yeah.
Well, he should be afraid of that because it's common. Arya says, we need records from Mar-a-Lago. How many girls from Eastern Europe did Mar-a-Lago bring to work in the massage lounge where we know Epstein stole people from? How many of these girls did Epstein recruit? I mean, we know for sure Trump's acknowledged at least one. That's what he says he got all upset with Epstein about.
Yeah.
I always mispronounce her name, but Giuffre. We know she was stolen from Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, and you know what? I doubt Mar-a-Lago has good records. You know, sure you keep those records up, folks.
Yeah, they've been storing them in the sauna for the last year here. Oh, all the ink ran. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And then the last rather significant update. So that Nassar letter, like we just said, it says that Jeffries took the short route, meaning he was about to kill himself, which would call into question the rather obvious conspiracy theory that Epstein was murdered. Well... Epstein's brother had told the FBI in 2023 that he believes the accused sex trafficker was murdered in his jail cell because he was preparing to, quote, name names, and that his alleged murder was authorized by Trump, according to a document included in this new file dumped today. Quote,
really?
Jeffrey Epstein was murdered in his jail cell. I have reason to believe he was killed because he was about to name names. I believe President Trump authorized the murder, Mark Epstein wrote in an online tip to the FBI February 22nd, 2023.
Wow. I hadn't seen that. That's crazy. You know, this thing is just... sultry. I mean, this thing is just so full of dirty shit. I think that's the biggest concern with everybody is like, what are we going to get that we can pin down to 100% fact and truth that we can actually put someone away for?
Well, and it's another good reason why if I was the Trump world, I would just dump all of this, hundreds of thousands of documents. It's a classic lawyer trick, right? To just overwhelm them with documents because it would take us all a long time. Releasing 10,000 at a time allows us all to zoom in. All of the eyes of the internet are on this. And as soon as they post something, people are screenshotting and downloading it because we've already seen, like I said, they're redacting, taking stuff up and down. Like, so stop screwing around and just put it all out there.
But how many documents are there, Stephen?
Total? I have no idea. Yeah. But they've released, I don't know, 30, 40,000 at this point. And one of the guys on one of the oversight committees said that they have released about 10% of what the DOJ and FBI have, and about 5% or half of that 10% has already been made publicly available. So, you know, they're doing a slow drip. That's not helping their case by any means whatsoever.
Yeah, not with what we're seeing and believing, and also, with other lawmakers, and we'll see what happens there. This is a great video for you to take a look at in two parts.
Mm. You and your Republican colleague Thomas Massie have led the bipartisan push to force the full release of the Epstein files, and you co-sponsored the Epstein Files Transparency Act requiring all unclassified Epstein documents to be posted within 30 days. And you're considering contempt charges, possibly impeachment, for Attorney General Pam Bondi. How's that going to work?
Well, first of all, we, for the House, can have a fine on her personally every day they don't release the documents. But let me tell you why this matters. You had survivors come twice to the Capitol to relive their trauma and tell their stories. This country has abandoned them for decades. These were girls from working class families. They often didn't have a father. Some of them were daughters of immigrants, and they were preyed upon. They were preyed upon, over 1,200 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a good point there with survivors. I mean, even me, I'm so lost in the minutia of getting these things released and finding the guilty party that I've lost sight of the victims in all of this. And he's right. Yeah. They already have been to the Capitol twice.
They have, and some of them have been threatening that, you know, if you guys keep doing this crap, we're just going to start naming names, like they're going to paint him into a corner, which is what I said originally. Like, I never thought that they were going to release all these files. Everything would be clear and open and transparent. I've always been saying, like, put them out there because there are people that know what are under those black bars. And if you try too hard to hide it, some people will out you. And again, they're just going to shoot themselves in the foot playing these games that they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Problem is, can we really hold Bondi accountable? I know technically we can, but
on this release, one of them to get it.
Are there enough Republican votes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Let's finish what he has to say, and then maybe you'll know for sure of your question.
On this release, one of them, they released her name as the survivor, and they didn't release the FBI file that she's been asking for. It was horrendous. So Massey and I, we went on TV yesterday morning. We said we're going to hold her in contempt. Suddenly, they start to scramble. They're now releasing unredacted documents. They're saying we're going to release more documents. Not because of Massey or me, because they know that Republicans themselves are upset at what Bondi has done. In fact, one Republican said, I don't think Massey will mind my sharing this. He said, my concern with you is we want Donald Trump to fire Pam Bondi. You don't need to get involved. But Bondi has lost all credibility, and these survivors are not going away.
What was the House vote on releasing all the files?
427 to 1.
427 to 1.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, that's pretty crazy, dude, that, you know, the FBI won't release her files to her. You know, I mean, just think of that, dude. That's crazy.
That's the glimmer of hope I have, that it was such an overwhelming vote that maybe there are enough Republicans to hold them accountable. But they're going to give them the grace period here, especially because they've all gone home for the holidays. So I would be willing to bet over this holiday break that Bondi and company are going to try to dump as much stuff as they can. Because, like I said, they're just assuming most people aren't paying attention, because a lot of people aren't. They can't.
Yeah.
They're traveling, spending time with, you know, family.
Maybe so. I think it's bullshit that they're even taking leave, dude. I mean, this is important enough to the American people that you can't work through the holiday. I mean, you could have your Christmas dinner or whatever, or spend the morning with your kids, but, like, you can't do it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's crazy.
Well, we'll stay on it. I mean, as it does continue to drip out, like I said, everyone's paying extra close attention. So we shall see. We shall see.
For sure, for sure. Hey, dude, there's been all kinds of other stuff outside of the release of these Epstein files going on, from, you know, Trump holding different rallies in North Carolina to Turning Point USA's America Fest, which is just a treasure trove of utter bullshit. I pulled some clips, so we'll go over some of those today. We'll talk about battleships. Where you want to go, dude? Do you have any idea of where you might like to find yourself? In a corner with ISIS, perhaps?
That doesn't sound fun whatsoever. Not sure. No, dealer's choice. You tell me. What do you got?
All right. Well, let's get into the ISIS talks, because like we talked about on the podcast last week, ISIS seems to be rooting their head. And here, you know, well, let me just remind the American people of the fact that Trump got rid of ISIS. I mean, they were completely eliminated.
We defeated 100% of the ISIS caliphate. 100%. When I came in, it was a mess. It was all over. They have it in a certain color, all ISIS. A year later, I said, where is it? It's all gone, sir, because of you.
Sir, well, that's sir. The tell. That's one of those tells right there. Anytime he says, sir, you know, I got a phone call. Someone said, sir, we found tariffs on the shelf. Where'd this $1 trillion? Sir, there's no one at the border. So that's a goddamn giveaway right there. So that's
right.
Obviously.
Sir, they were weeping. They were weeping when they came to me.
Right. Or the airline, the pilots in the Navy called. We got a call from airline pilots. Sir, the Democrats are disrespecting us.
Right. Yeah. But like I said, ISIS has reared its ugly head once again.
ABC News has just confirmed that the U.S. has launched a large military strike against multiple targets in central Syria. Retaliation for the deadly ambush killing two American soldiers and their civilian interpreter, a U.S. interpreter. U.S. Central Command saying American forces are actively executing a large-scale strike against weapons and ISIS infrastructure. In fact, we just heard from Secretary Pete Hegseth, who has tweeted, earlier today, U.S. forces commenced Operation Hawkeye strike in Syria to eliminate ISIS fighters, infrastructure, and weapon sites in direct response to the attack on U.S. forces that occurred on December 13th in Palmyra, Syria. A U.S. official telling ABC News tonight the strike involves fighter jets, attack helicopters, artillery, dozens upon dozens of targets. The operation aimed at delivering a significant blow to ISIS remnants, ISIS infrastructure, and eliminating ISIS weapons. The strikes are targeting multiple locations in central Syria.
Well, let's find a few more.
It's damn disrespectful, dude, to say ISIS is gone when, they're still killing Americans, you know.
Yeah. This goes back to the boy that cried wolf. You can't believe anything they say. ISIS is gone. No, ISIS killed two people. We blew ISIS up, but no one's coming in the country. And our troops are the safest they've ever. Like, you can't believe anything. And, you know, I mean, I know there was an ambush there, and doing a strike back is technically fine with me. But again, I don't believe any of it. I've never had this little faith in our government. I've always had a grain of salt and always questioned things. But now it's just like, you guys are all such fucking liars. I can't believe anything you say.
Yeah.
And you're obviously trying to distract from everything going on. So what do I know?
It takes us months, if not years, to get the actual intention of what was going on. You know, we saw these murders with the Venezuelan boats, and it's drugs. And right. Now we think we got a handle on what it is. It's more about the oil. It's more about turning the midterms into a place where he can engage with Sharia law, right?
No, absolutely. The Venezuela stuff, we've been all over, and that's definitely bullshit. But yeah, Gabo here nailed it. Everyone says, is Trump playing three-dimensional chess? Trump's playing three dementia chess.
Makes a lot more sense to me. Yeah, yes. Gabo. That's kudos a good point. That's happening. Trump's also, I don't know. You know what? We talked about what the hell was that when we were talking about the fact that we were going to have like Hunger Games.
Patriot Games?
Yeah, Patriot Games. Yeah. So, you know, Trump was talking about like districts and stuff and all of that. It just rang so familiar.
Yeah.
Trump came out and had I think this press conference took place in Mar-a-Lago, I believe. But he is putting together some battleships for our country. And here he is telling you about it. I want you to take a look at the signs, the pictures of the battleships, and see what they say on them.
Okay.
As Commander-in-Chief, it's my great honor to announce that I have approved a plan for the Navy to begin the construction of two brand-new, very large, largest we've ever built, battleships. You know, you used to build the Iowa, the Missouri, the Wisconsin, the Alabama, many others. We had big battleships. These are bigger. They'll be 100 times the force, the power. There's never been anything like these ships. These have been under design consideration for a long time. These are the best in the world. They'll be the fastest, the biggest, and by far 100 times more powerful than any battleship ever built. So if you look at the Iowa, the Missouri, Wisconsin, Alabama, and others, but they were similar. If you take the biggest one, it's 100 times more powerful, but there will never be anything built like these.
Never. Everything's the biggest and the best with me.
And those numbers are such bullshit, dude. 100 times more powerful?
Well, he's saying they'll have nuclear weapons on them, which does not make me feel better, but maybe there's some truth to that. But, Dementia Don, I feel like he was playing battleships. It was like, this is a great idea. We need some battleships, and they should all have chutes and ladders on them, and we should invade Candyland with them, because I want a monopoly on the military.
Completely.
I just see him in the Oval Office playing with toys, be like, I want these. Make these big.
Totally, dude. Yeah, no, I see it. You saw the signs. First of all, it's got the picture of him like from the assassination attempt. You know, him raising his hand in the air. And then it says, what does it say? Trump fleet the Trump fleet. Yeah, so yeah. These will all be labeled as the Trump fleet as he continues to put his frickin' name on everything, dude.
Because he can't remember his name because of the dementia. So he needs it written everywhere, just like the Oval Office sign outside the White House now. I mean, as we've always said, the guy is such a narcissist. He needs his name on everything, and he is trying to rewrite the map. He wants a legacy. He knows he is not living through this entire term. So he's trying to put a stamp on as many things as he can. And, you know, Greenland should certainly be freaking out. But so should every monument. So should any building he can slap his stupid name on. And Trump battleships. For the wars we're not in, except for the ones he's creating. And battleships would take years to bake anyway. So he'll definitely be dead and gone by then. So we can rename them the Newsom fleet or the AOC fleet.
But we won't want to do that, dude, because we're logical people. Right. Like, these are just battleships. He said the first two, somewhere in that speech, he said the first two we're making right now. Which, again, is just bullshit, dude. You're not making these right now. So.
No. I hope the young man and young woman from District 7 get to be the captains of these things. Like, what the hell is the prize going to be for subjecting your minor children? And again, if you're trying to distract from the Epstein files, maybe don't start collecting minors from around the country. Maybe that doesn't look so innocent. But
it's a solid point.
Right. Yeah. Parents out there, you've got a parental flaw if you're going to allow your kids to compete in Trump's Hunger Games for whatever the hell the prize is going to be.
One young woman, one young man, transgender for everybody.
Oh, maybe that's the losing teams all get transgender.
So. Maybe so. Yeah, could very possibly be. What else has Trump put his name on? Well, we're talking more about this. You can see a picture of it right here, too.
This is the gold card, as you know. The Secretary of Commerce and myself and some others have been working on for quite a while. And Howard, how much have we sold in a few days?
$1,300,000,000 worth in a matter of a couple of days.
Essentially, it's the green card on steroids.
Yeah, Jesus. It's great. They're $1,000,000. I'm not good at math. What's that, 130 cards then?
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
That to me is like, there's a really fancy golf course near me that is on public property, so they can't make it a private golf course. But they charge like $600 a round, so they discriminate by pricing it high, which is what Trump is doing with this Trump gold card. He only wants rich people to be able to buy it to have go directly to the home base kind of thing. So it's another disgusting way to discriminate and to put his name on stuff.
And it makes him a lot more money. I mean, you know what? He's supposedly making money for the government. This is how bad it's got, Stephen. I've been fighting again on Facebook with idiots, over the last week. I got in a fight with a guy who basically said, that old line that people continue to say of like, oh, Trump isn't even drawing a salary. He's donating it. I was like, you fucking idiot, man.
Doesn't need to.
That's hogwash to him. That's peanuts,
$100,000. And by the way, show me the receipts on him donating it. He always says he's donating stuff, but never proves it. So I don't even know if I believe that. But $200,000, that was admission into the Billionaire Hall of Fame. That's a small price to pay for him to just pillage our country globally. And I mean, it's insanity.
The guy, I continued to fight with him, though, and I told him, you have no idea how much money he's made. He's like, Forbes said he's the only president to ever lose money. I was like, what? Forbes said that? I went to the Forbes page and came back and posted the graph on what he's made, and the guy deleted his comment. I'm like, you little pussy, dude.
Of course. He's going up on the, world's richest, not down. So that's hilarious. There's so many comments coming in. I'm losing track of some of them, but somebody was just asking, is the Trump, mobile phone out yet? And the answer to that is no, because I just did a whole story on that thing. They are months behind. They're now selling refurbished iPhone 14s, and we're on iPhone 17. So yet again, another Trump scam there for his gullible sheep. So I don't feel so bad,
Yeah. So you're telling me the videos I've seen of the unboxing of the Trump phone that came in like these, you know, gold boxes and shit, they're fake, or there's just like one or two of them made?
There's zero made, so it's okay. Gotta be fake.
Gotta be fake.
Trump even got busted for posting fake images of it. Because he, at first, it was clearly a Galaxy whatever, and then Samsung told him stop. Then he did an iPhone version that was gold. Apple told him stop. Then he posted one that had a case that had the manufacturer stamp on it. Manufacturer told him, like, don't freaking associate us with any of this stuff. So
yeah. No, people don't want to be associated with his garbage, dude. And when you talk about him donating his salary and that you don't even know if that's true, I mean, he's been found liable civilly for... you know, his charity.
Defrauding his own charity.
Defrauding his own charities, yeah. So.
Yes. You know, Dementia Don gave a speech last Friday night, I think it was, in North Carolina, and it was disturbing as fuck. Like, I mean, he is truly sounding weak and old, but he is also just drifting all over the place more than usual and saying crazy things. I mean, he talked about Trump's, or about Melania's panties.
Yeah, do you want to see it?
Oh, yeah, yes, please.
I got the panty clip, dude. This was too good not to pull. Like, what the hell is this, for crying out loud?
Gentlemen.
They went into my wife's closet. And I'll say this. Number one, it's very bad, but it sounds a little strange. They looked at her drawers. You have drawer, and then you have drawer. Her undergarments, sometimes referred to as panties, are folded, perfect, wrapped. They're like so perfect. I said, that's beautiful. You know, it's the part of the world she came from.
She came from perfect panty world.
Perfect panty land, dude. What the hell is that?
Oh, he's ruined the word panties for all time to come. But God, I mean, that just shows you the lack of an internal monologue where there's no part of him like, I'm addressing the world right now. Maybe I should not be talking about my fake wife's panties to this crowd as I stumble and fumble through this.
And not even getting a vibe on the room. The room is silent, dude. No one's laughing. No one's clapping. Right. I mean, come on.
And it was the same speech where he awarded himself $1 billion. He started talking about this lawsuit where he's suing his own government and he's the one to decide. So maybe I just get $1 billion, but I'll give it to charity. Although some people are saying maybe I should keep it. What do you guys think? Charity, me keep? You want me to keep it? Okay. Like,
right. Yeah.
Please. Yeah, he's going to give it to charity. I believe that for 0 seconds.
Yeah, no, I don't believe it either. He continues to go on about Marjorie Taylor Greene. This was also came from that rally, and just further proof that he's talking about shit no one cares about, and he's just kind of lost.
Marjorie, Trader Brown, I call her, because Greene turns to brown under stress. So I call her Trader Brown, which I don't like doing because two words is too much. Two out of three, we're changing to Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm going Marjorie Trader Brown, so I have to change. And a lot of people don't understand two words is too much to change. I actually like Marjorie Taylor Brown better, but everyone says Marjorie Trader Greene is good, but they're all good. But what the hell happened to her?
What the hell happened to you, bro? Come on.
I am telling you. I mean, I am not a doctor or psychologist. I can't technically assess the man, but this is what dementia and Alzheimer's looks like. Yes. You just can't help yourself. There is no filter. You're just rambling. And the fact that he's sitting there explaining his jokes is not only terrible comedy, but it just shows you how lost he is.
Yes, 100%.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, that's a great analysis.
I always say it's not funny if you got to explain the joke, and he just keeps doing that. Stop it already. Marjorie Trader Green was decent writing. Stop with this Marjorie Trader Brown, because brown turns green turns to brown because
it's rotten. Like, and I even like that one more.
And he can't let anything go. She's gone. Biden's gone. Like, give it up, old man, and just focus forward. Eyes forward, not the rearview mirror, okay?
Yeah, 100%. Steve, it's got to make you feel good. I'll play this clip of Trump. You know, we've talked a lot about on this podcast of it doesn't make any sense to us normal folk when you hear Trump saying, I'm cutting drug prices by 400, 500, 600%.
Yeah,
right? Sure. We finally got an explanation for, you know, why we're the dummies in all of this, okay?
Some of them were just mathematically impossible. Listen to what he said about bringing down the price of prescription drugs. Listen here.
I negotiated directly with the drug companies and foreign nations, which were taking advantage of our country for many decades, to slash prices on drugs and pharmaceuticals by as much as 400, 500, and even 600%.
Well, if you cut something by 100%, the cost goes down to zero. If you cut it by 4, 5, or 600%, the drug companies are actually paying you.
Now, what he's saying is if a drug was $100 and you bring the drug down to $13, right? If you're looking at it from $13, it's not down a, not seven
a six,
times.
It's not a it's 600%.
Down, well, reduction. But it's 700% higher price before. It's down 700% now, right? So a $13 would have to go up 700% to get back to the old one. So it all depends on when you look at it. You could say it's down 87%.
Or you could
say it would have to go up 700% to be the same one. So it just depends on what you look at it.
Wow. Jesus, dude.
Give him the gold medal for mental gymnastics right there.
Yes. Kellyanne Conway, alternate facts. Remember that? Like,
absolutely.
You guys are just explaining shit that makes even more or even less sense to us all.
All he was really saying there is that it's not impressive enough to say we're going to reduce it by 87%.
Yes.
In order to trick the gullible masses out there, we're doing this weird non-math to say it's gone down 600%. 100%. Like,
it's common core. You wouldn't get it. You don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's common core math.
That does seem common core-ish, which is very woke of them. But
yeah,
no one can ever just tell it like it is. You're acknowledging that he is gaslighting us by doing this backwards math, because that is not how math works. Once you take it down, now the baseline has now reset. So technically, you could say it would have to go up 7 trillion percent to get to whatever number you've created.
You may have spoke too soon. We have somebody that sits in Trump's cabinet that is taking care of our medical needs. And I feel confident and comfortable with them behind the wheel and at the helm.
A vaginoplasty, a procedure a child does not need, costs $60,000. Shockingly, a phalloplasty, the creation of a penis, costs, on average, in America, according to this data, high quality, $150,000 per child. Mm. These prices have continued to increase with increasing manufactured demand.
Tariffs.
And I must point out that the creation of a vagina in that case of a phalloplasty or a scrotoplasty where you add testicles, that's extra.
Well, duh. You got to pay for the balls. I mean, come on.
It's like a car, dude. You want air conditioning, you got to pay for it. This is the kind of work they're focusing on, dude. The medical needs of everyday Americans.
Listen, I've always said, I tell my kids every night at dinner, kids, it's harder to make a pole than it is to make a hole. So obviously, the price of the pole is going way up.
You talk to your kids about that.
Oh, every night. This is a dinner table discussion. Remember, kids, harder to make a pole than it is to make a hole. Yeah. Trademark, Vocal Minority 2025.
Yeah, you've been saying that for years,
dude. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, this shows you where their heads are at, where their priorities are at, what the hell they're thinking and talking about.
Yeah.
And I believe everything Dr. Oz says, obviously.
Yeah,
he's a doctor, goddammit.
He was on Oprah, dude. Come on.
Right. Him and Dr. Phil. So
yeah, right. Okay, do you want to step into America Fest? You're going to have to be brave to do it.
America Fest. Oh, is this the turning point crap?
Yes. America Fest 2025.
Do you have the selfie thing? Is that part of what you got here?
Oh, no. Do you want to tell me about it?
Yeah, they recreated the site of Charlie Kirk's assassination with that Prove Me Wrong tent, and they recreated the whole thing, and attendees were taking selfies in the Charlie Kirk death tent.
Good God, dude, I didn't see that. That is so uber creepy, man.
Isn't it creepy and morbid and just sick and wrong?
Yeah.
And talk about profiting off a man's death. I mean, you recreate the shrine. It's one thing if you were to recreate it and put it behind a velvet rope or something. Even that's weird and creepy. But to let people go in there, be like, hey, look at me. I'm where Charlie Kirk got shot. I hope you took that picture in one shot, too, just to keep it on, you know, on brand.
Dude, when I play some of these clips for you, I mean, there were, I think there were, yeah, there were 30,000 attendees at this event. 30 freaking thousand, dude. Yeah. And this gives me very little hope in America when I see that this drew 30,000 people.
Grindr, you got that on your list?
No.
The Grindr app was crashing again in Phoenix. The same thing that happened during Charlie Kirk's, you know, memorial or whatever it was. Anytime Republicans, especially the uber conservatives, congregate in one area, Grindr, the gay dating app, the activity spikes and often crashes. And they did it again for this little gathering. So it's in holes and holes, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, people on the right have come out as saying, like, you're anti-gay, you're homophobic. No, there's nothing wrong with being gay. We're saying come out, dude. Just come out and enjoy your lifestyle and live naturally.
Totally. Yeah. Let's be clear about that. I'm all for it. You're fine. Just stop being in denial and stop demonizing gay people and transgender people when you people all get together and go for the glory hole.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Gosh, I struggle with where to start here, but I think I'm just going to start with Nicki Minaj. You know, there were a lot of people that were really upset that Nicki Minaj has, you know, become a Trump lover, become MAGA. And the rumor on the street is people are saying that the only reason she's doing it is because she's got a brother in prison and she's looking for a pardon, right?
I do hear that. I don't know why the hell else she would alienate most of her audience and come out and start saying all this crap. And I read somewhere, too, she's not even an American citizen, so shouldn't MAGA be trying to jump all over that, too?
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Yeah, I don't know where she's from. I should probably fact check that, but a lot of people are saying.
A lot of people are talking. Word on the street. Let me start here. Okay, so Erica Kirk, widow of Charlie, you know, she's dabs her eyes and she's been crying and, you know, she seems like she's upset. Let's talk a little bit first about the fact that she is now CEO of Turning Point and has two children under the age of 3 and has spent very little time at home since her husband's death. And this is what her and Charlie believed in, you know, prior to his assassination.
The study shows that married women with kids are the happiest. Why do you think that is? I mean, it's just nature. I mean, just becoming a CEO of a shoe company is not going to give you happiness.
Women have it so mixed up. You can have a career after children, but if you try to have a career while you have your kids, there is no such thing as balance. That is such a myth. Your heart has to be fully with the home. You have to make that decision on your own, but you can always, after your kids are in school or after they're in high school, you can always go back to work. You can always find a way to get back into the workforce. But if you miss those precious first few years, that is so hard to make up because memories are so much more important than an added paycheck.
Yeah.
Listen, you spoiled rich bitch, entitled brat.
Bridge. That's a new word, dude. I love it. It's a brat and a bitch.
Yes. This topic upsets me because, you know, being from a family of working parents where I had to work, my now ex-wife had to work, like, this is the problem with America. The wealth, the gap has become so crazy that most families don't have the luxury, like the Kirks did, to leave one parent at home.
Yeah.
And honestly, the second parent that's working, half of your income is going to childcare, which you probably can't afford either. So then you're underfunding the childcare, kids being left home alone, unsupervised. Like that ripples into adolescent issues. Like, if one parent could stay home, I would have gladly volunteered to have done it. Like, it probably is better for the kids to have at least one parent at home. But in America nowadays, where the wealth divide has become just blown out of proportion, most families don't have that luxury. So,
Steve, like, this isn't about having one parent at home. It's that a woman belongs in the house and in the kitchen making your child happy. You know, you shouldn't be out working. But here she is, two kids under 3, and now she's running this company. And like I said, hasn't been home. So this starts off disingenuous. Erica Kirk sat down with Nicki Minaj, which I'll also get to why this is disingenuous a little bit later. But let's start off with the first clip and see what you think of this.
I have the utmost respect and admiration for our president. I don't know if he even knows this, but he's given so many people hope that there's a chance to beat the bad guys and to win and to do it with your head held high and your integrity intact. This administration is full of people with heart and soul.
Oh.
And they make me proud of them.
Wow. Jeez, dude.
What an asshole. Screw Nicki Minaj, who, by the way, is not a U.S. citizen. She was born in Trinidad and Tobago, moved to the U.S. as a child. So check her papers.
Check them. That's where we start. This gets worse. Let's go into clip number two, Nicki Minaj.
And you have amazing role models like the assassin.
Oh.
J.D. Vance, our vice president. And when I say that...
She just realized what she said.
What was she trying to say? The assassin.
Trust me. There's nothing new under the sun that I have not heard, so you're fine.
Awkward.
Yes, we did. I love you.
We'll start talking.
I love you. You have to laugh about it, truly. I have been called every single thing, and you know what? God is so good, you let it roll right off your back.
God is so good. That's what they all go to in those moments of darkness.
Dude, is that unbelievable? I mean, I think it's a great choice of words, actually. And, you know, I think as soon as she realized what she said, like, oh... Yeah, that's probably the wrong audience for that. But
listen,
yeah.
I know it was a Freudian slip. Like, she probably was thinking that or thinking about the assassination in Canada. I just don't know what she was actually trying to say. What was the unslip? J.D. Vance? Like, what?
It wasn't a slip. She had been talking about the fact that when somebody debates him, that he goes in and he's just, you know, like an assassin. Like, he can just take people down right away with his facts. Mm. He's a good speaker. That's what she was trying to say that.
Well, that's even worse if she was trying to say it. But
poor choice of words for the audience, I guess. Yeah.
Well, do you have the clip of Erica Kirk doing a little Freudian slip herself?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Because that's a good one, too. And she, I think that definitely was Freudian.
Yeah. I don't know which number it is.
We'll get there.
Okay. Let's get to Nicki again.
You had some fun words for Governor Newsom. I have to read these tweets because they are amazing and they are so funny. Okay. First one, we'll do this one. Unless you want to read it in your own voice, I think it'd be really great.
Imagine being the guy running on wanting to see trans kids. Haha, not even a trans adult would run on that. Normal adults wake up and think they want to see healthy, safe, happy kids. Not Gav, the Gav Knox. Gav, not in. Gav, out. Wow. Send in the next guy. I'm bored.
Wow.
Who's like ever read?
I don't want to hear it in her voice. That makes it even worse.
Yeah. Unbelievable, dude. That was an attack on Gavin Newsom.
What a well-worded, intelligent attack.
Yeah.
Trans for everyone.
Trans for everyone. Leave it alone, dude. Jeez, we've already discussed the fact that, you know, less than 2%?
Yeah, exactly.
Less than 2% of the population, dude. Why is this on everyone's mind in the MAGA party, for crying out loud?
It's fear-mongering. It's the others. It's all that crap. But
yeah. Okay, Nicki again.
We won't be silenced ever again. We will speak up for Christians wherever they are in this world.
Amen.
Yes,
Yes, amen.
Okay, this turned into an evangelical just church rally, dude, as Nicki Minaj walks off stage and is telling people amen and, you know, trying to get the crowd riled up. She was stopped for a quick interview, and she was very insightful in this clip.
Do you have a favorite Bible verse?
Well, I would say the simple one that everyone knows, Psalms 23.
Psalms 23?
It's short, but it is so visual, and it gets to the point, and it calms you when you need to feel calm, and it also makes you feel protected when that's how you need to feel as well. My grandmother would make me say that prayer in Trinidad when I was just a toddler. I was probably like 4 years old. She would make all of the grandchildren in the house say that prayer. So to this day, it has a special meaning to me.
Unbelievable. That's the one that she picked. It's kind of like when Donald Trump was asked about his favorite Bible verse. Like,
and he couldn't name anything because he's never read it.
It's kind of private.
Nick, it's kind of personal. I hope you're not trying to tell me that some religious people are lying hypocrites, because that would just destroy my beloved faith and organized religion.
Yeah. That's exactly what we're trying to talk about. God, dude, we're running out of time. I'm trying to see where I should go here because, I don't know, some of these people are just crazy. Oh, remember Russell Brand?
Yes.
Yeah, he turned into MAGA, you know.
Did we not have the grifter comment from Erica Brown, or what the hell her name is? That's it. I mean, she was talking about Charlie Kirk, and I guess she was trying to say he was gifted, and she said he's a grifter, which, you know, is completely spot on.
Let me see if this is it.
The study shows that married women with...
Oh, no, that's not him.
Erica Kirk.
She's talking about a new upcomer and the fact that he's a grifter like Charlie Kirk, you know. And what was she trying to say? Gifted?
Gifted, I think, but grifter. Yeah. That's a straight-up Freudian slip, so yeah.
Yeah, completely. Okay, here's Russell Brand. And I cut this for obvious reasons.
Heavenly Father, would you guide my mouth? Would you guard my lips? Oh Lord, I bend my knee and my tongue will serve you, Heavenly Father, and no other.
2 hours later.
I pray, Father, for the eternal soul of Charlie Kirk. I thank you for his sacrifice. And I thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to be here in Munich. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen.
Dude, that prayer went on forever. And what is he doing praying up on stage, kneeling?
I know what he's doing praying. It just came out, breaking news an hour ago. There's been 2 additional sexual assault charges announced in England against Russell Brand.
Are you making a joke?
No, I'm not. He's already been accused of rape before. We have new allegations out today, or new charges being filed against him. So I think he's got reason to pray, and he's got reason to be hanging out with all those other sex offender pedo protectors there at Turning Point USA.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's crazy. Steve Bannon was at America Fest. This is a quick clip. He had comments to make on, who just died? Whose kid killed him? Reiner.
Yeah, Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner?
Yeah.
You make a handful of crappy movies. Dude, you raised a kid that slit your throat. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, says the guy hanging out with Epstein constantly and trying to help cover up for him.
Yeah, more peace and love.
I think he was just trying to out-cringe Trump by saying some bullshit like that.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe he was. Jesse Waters got on. This is the last one I'll play for you. There's so much more, but I'm going to give you Jesse Waters just because he's such a douchebag. It's 2 clips. Here's the first.
Okay.
But Charlie's death, it made me want to reconnect with God. So every morning we all read this Bible passage and then we text each other about what we think of it.
Oh.
It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And the lawyers at Fox love it that we're texting about Jesus instead of, you know, the other stuff. I'm learning more about Jesus and just from these short passages. And if you guys could tell me, what is the main message of Jesus in one word? Love. It's love.
It's love.
And I'm realizing that the government will not protect what you love. You have to do it.
Second Amendment.
I'm talking about trans
people. You cannot rely on the government to protect what you love.
Gay people.
Yeah, exactly.
The Constitution, due process, civil rights.
Yes, he's exactly right on with all of that. You would think, oh, you're making great points, but this is where he goes, for crying out loud.
Let's have everybody stand up right now for what they love. Now, if you love your spouse, you love your country, you love your heritage, your people,
your heritage,
your faith, your God, your land, your ideas, your beliefs, your history.
Jeez, dude. I mean, this went on and on and on. And then, you know, he was done. They bring up J.D. Vance was there, wow. Made several terrible comments. This one is just a few seconds long. Let me know what you think of it.
In the United States of America, you don't have to apologize for being white anymore.
Well, that's I true. Spend so many hours a goddamn day apologizing for being white.
Oh my gosh, dude.
As are nails.
This is what all these people were talking about. I mean, just God and there was a lady who was in Target wearing a Charlie Kirk shirt. I don't know if you saw it on social media. Someone went up and was like, "Why are you wearing that at Target? It's gross." And she was like, "Have a nice day." They brought her on stage for 20 minutes, dude, and talked about the fact that she stood up for Charlie Kirk and how evil the libs are. Well, I mean, this is all propaganda trash, right?
Hey, did you know you and I are eligible for a class action lawsuit?
For
being discriminated because we're white guys, and I am sick of us being beaten down.
I'm not going to apologize anymore. You don't have to do it in the old U.S. of A.
This is not a joke. I know it sounds like I'm saying one. The chair of the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission issued a PSA specifically to white men, encouraging them to file a claim of race and gender discrimination in the workplace with her office. She said, "Are you a white male who's experienced discrimination at work based on your race or sex? You may have a claim to recover money under federal civil rights laws." This is somebody, you're going to be shocked by this, appointed by Donald Trump. So,
this is a Saturday Night Live skit.
Sounds like it.
Unbelievable, dude.
Yes. Are you sick of your white privilege helping you in this world?
Right. Yes. You have it easier than everyone else. Are you tired of that?
Could we file a no class action suit against the entire mega world for having no class?
Yeah, probably so. It seems you can sue for anything.
I love that Jesse Waters, by the way, said, "If you love your God, do you really think he's referring to Buddha and Allah and all the other gods out there?" No.
No.
They always want, you know, religion in the classroom, as long as it's their religion.
Yeah. Because you got to stand up. Like you said, if you love your spouse. Yeah, that just only if they're the opposite sex are you allowed to love your spouse.
And they better be the same race, too. Goddamn.
Yes, yes. Let's not mix things up.
Yeah, wowzers.
Yeah, pretty sick and pretty nasty. And that brings us to a place where we're out of time.
It sure does. We have had a ton of people watching today, so we appreciate everybody. And please subscribe to Really American. We're so close to hitting 1 million subscribers, which puts us in a whole different league. So do us a solid, hit subscribe, and support all the people on this channel. It's all independent journalism going on here, commentary and whatnot. And we're on the hit list in Trump world. So support this kind of stuff before he figures out a way to deport us all.
Yes, indeed. So, hey, whatever you celebrate, have a good holiday. And yeah, we will be back on Friday. We'll do it live here on the Really American platform, YouTube and Facebook. And we appreciate you listening today. We've got all kinds of other socials, as this guy will tell you.
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day.
Good day.
Peace.